Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Didn't our praise team sing great this morning? Hallelujah. Great job. Great job, praise team. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for leading us and opening up for us this morning. Amen. How many of you all are thankful to be in church this morning? Amen. Thankful to not be in a morgue. Amen. No toe tags. Amen. So God has kept you throughout this week, and he's allowed you to start your week off right. Because they say the week starts on Monday, but the strong start on Sunday. Amen. Did y'all hear me? They say the week starts on Monday, but the strong start on Sunday. Because Sunday is really the first day of the week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as you all know, we are in a new series called Moti. Everybody say Moti. Moti. So Moti is a derivative of multiple. Multiple meaning many, much, a lot. So we are talking about catching the vision of the house and running with it. Catching the vision of the house and running with it. If you would, turn your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. And when you get there, if you would jump to your feet. And if you can't find it in your iPad or in your Bible, you can use your eyes and look at the screen. So Habakkuk chapter 2, could I get a little bit more volume? A little bit, please. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. And once you get there, jump to your feet, amen. And I believe what we're going to talk about today, that if you catch the gist of it, if you catch it, it's going to really cause some transformation in your life. A lot of people skip steps, but I believe if you catch this morning, you're going to see some things happen in your life like you never have before in 2020. So there's some great things that are going to happen in your life in 2020, but we got to follow the right steps. Everybody say right steps.
Right.
Right steps. So everybody at Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. If not, just look at the screen and we'll read it together on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will not tarry. I want to use for a topic this morning, vision by hand. Everybody say vision by hand. Let's look from God in prayer. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you for this day. I pray that you move Lester Bell Jr. out of the way and that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me to your people. We thank you for transformation. We thank you, Lord God, that this word will fall on good ground and that your people will be transformed, Lord God, forevermore. So we love you. We thank you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As you sit down, say vision by hand.
Vision by hand.
Vision by hand. I want to read to you Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 in the Message version. And this is what it says. It says, and then God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. The vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on the way. It will come right on time. Right on time. And what is this scripture talking about? This scripture is talking about vision. And that's what we're talking about this month. We're talking about vision and how to apply it to our life. Now, I want to tell y'all a story. I got some time for story time. Story time. Everybody likes stories, right? That's how Jesus connected with the people. He gave them a story and then he fed them. He gave them a story and then he fed them. So there was once this young man, young handsome man, about 2015. He wrote down what he wanted in a potential mate, a potential wife. He wrote down all the qualities that he wanted, every quality. He wanted her to be spontaneous. He wanted her to be smart. He wanted her to be fun and loving and sincere and authentic. And so this young man, he wrote this out. He wrote this down in a journal. He wrote it down in a journal. And guess what happened? She appeared. Who was that young man? That young man is me. That young man is me. And today we're going to talk about how writing down your vision will help it come to pass. Because a lot of times our vision just stays here. It just stays in our mind. And we see the vision here, but we never write it down here. Because when we write it down here, we're saying, God, I trust you. So there is power in your writing. Everybody say, there is power in my writing. So your vision happens three times. Your vision happens three times. First, your vision happens in your mind. Your vision happens in your mind first. Secondly, your vision happens written down. And lastly, your vision happens in your reality. So there's a three-step process there. It happens in your mind first, and then it happens in your writing, and then it happens in your reality. See, a lot of times our vision never becomes a reality because it never makes it to the second stage. And that second stage is the written form. And so God was talking to Habakkuk in chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. It says, write the vision and make it plain. Now that sounds like an oxymoron, right? Write the vision, right? But how can you write what you see? Easily. You write what God is showing you in your mind. Because when you write what God is showing you in your mind, then that says to God, God, look, I trust you in this. But when you just keep it here, then you may trust God, but your actions don't say trust God. I want everybody to cross their hands like this. Cross your hands like this. And I want y'all to make sure you cross it like this, but make sure your partner does it right, right? Cross it like this, but make sure your partner does it right, okay? Now I want y'all to take your hand and do like this, okay? Now it's impossible to do, right? Now let's go through it slowly. I want y'all to take your hands, cross it like this. So cross your hands over, right? And do like this, so make sure your partner does it right. Now I want you to take your thumb and twist it over like that. It's impossible to do, right? So my words and my actions didn't line up. Now, when I was telling y'all to do this, I was doing this and doing this, right? So I was switching up. My words and my actions wasn't going along with each other. So I was telling y'all to do this, but I was saying, check your partner. While I was saying, check your partner, I was saying, okay, we'll do this. So my words and my actions didn't line up. See, what happens when we don't write down our vision, that's saying our words and our actions don't line up. Because your words and your actions should line up. Because when your words and your actions line up, then you can see change happen in your reality. See, a lot of us can't see change happen in our reality because our words and our actions have not aligned. So when you keep your vision in your mind, listen to this, it is less likely to come to pass. When you keep your vision right here, and you keep it in your mind, it is less likely to come to pass. See, a lot of us, we have vision. We got great vision, but we don't have great writing when it comes to the vision. We're not following what the scripture says. The scripture says, write the vision, make it plain. Lester Bell Jr. isn't saying this. The scripture says, write the vision and make it plain. So when we write the vision and make it plain, then that means that we're saying, God, I trust you that this vision will come to pass. Because the scripture says the vision will not lie. It will come to pass. But in order for the vision to come to pass, I must first write it down. I must first write it down. So God, listen to this. God created our brains so beautifully well. God created our brains so beautifully well. Now we have, we're going to do a little science. We have two sides of the brain. Now if you take your hands, everybody take their hands and watch me. And put your fists like this and put your hands together. That's about the size of your brain. That's about the size of your brain. Did you know that? You didn't know that, did you? But so your brain has a right side, and you can let your hands go. Your brain has a right side, and your brain has a left side. Now, the right side of the brain is imaginative, so the right side of the brain sees vision. But the left side of the brain is literal, so the left side of the brain sees what you write down. So the right side is imaginative, so you see the vision in the right side of your brain, but the left side of your brain is literal, so what that means is it takes everything literally. So what happens is when God created our brains, see, if you just think of your vision, you are only using the right hemisphere of your brain. If you just think of your vision, you're only using one side. You're only using one side of your brain. And we should use our whole brains, right? Anybody just use their right side of their brain? No, we have to use our whole brain in order to function daily. Because if we don't use our whole brain to function daily, then we won't function correctly. So there is something that connects your right and left brain called the corpus callosum. Everybody say the corpus callosum. So we're going back to anatomy class. We're going back to anatomy class. Back in elementary school, did we learn anatomy? No, high school. Just checking to see if y'all are here. What school did I go to? All right, I went to Robert E. Lee, right? We was talking about the corpus callosum. Talking about the corpus callosum at an early age. But the corpus callosum connects the right and left brain. And so what the corpus callosum does is when you use both the right side of the brain to imagine and the left side of the brain to write, the corpus callosum says, okay, they're using both sides of their brain. So the corpus callosum sends electrical inputs to every cell and input of your body. And what it says to your body is, okay, this person believes that this shall happen. They've written it down and it's going to come true. So it's going to do everything in its power to make it come true. Now, I know that's heavy, right? But you have to use both sides of your brain because when you write down what you see, like I just said, you allow the corpus callosum to send electrical signals to every fiber, cell, and bone in your body to bring that vision into reality. So when you write down your vision, it's saying, okay, right side, I see the vision. Left side, I do the writing. Now they both come together, and now the corpus callosum sends electrical inputs to every cell of your body, so your dream and your vision comes true. See, a lot of times the reason our vision and our dream doesn't come true is because we're not using our brains the right way. We're not using what God has given us. We're not using what God created within us the right way. So most times your vision written will not make sense based on your current reality. Your vision will not make sense when you write it down based on your current reality. So circumstance, what is circumstance? Circumstance is just your circle of your stance, the circle of your stance. So whatever you're going through, what is vision? Vision is the possibility of what is and what could be. So when I write down my vision, I don't necessarily write down what I am in now. I'll write down what I see myself in the future. So when I wrote down the characteristics of my wife, when I wrote down what I desire, she manifested. She didn't manifest that day. She was already alive. See, God didn't have to raise her up and clone her and raise her up right quick. All he did was say, okay, this is what you're looking for? Okay. She's already created. And so what happened is, I was able to move closer to what God created for me because I had become specific. See, a lot of times we're not specific in what we write down, and when we're not specific in what we write down, then we just get anything. And a lot of us have just been getting anything. We've been asking God, why you gave me this? And God's like, well, you weren't specific. When you wrote it down, you weren't specific. So God is looking for specificness, amen? So your vision is really a paradox compared to your current situation. What's a paradox? A paradox is a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense and yet is perhaps true. So when you write down your vision, see, my vision for this house is for this house to be multicultural, multigenerational, multi-ethnic, and multiplying. Now, I can't write down where I am and think that I will get to where I desire to be if I'm continuing to write down where I am.
See, a lot of times we write down where we are right now. Well, I'm sad, and I am this, and I am that, and I am that. And guess what? Your circumstances will never change because you're too focused on where you are right now. But when you focus on what God has for you and write down what God has for you, then it's like your vision pulls you closer to that. What happens is your vision pulls you closer to that. But if I don't write down what God has placed in my heart and vision, then I will be moving further away from that thing that I desire. But when I write it down, I'm going to be pulled closer because a vision pulls you. A vision propels you. A vision pulls you to where God has for you. Now, your vision takes trusting in God. Your vision takes trusting in God. Don't believe me? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Your vision takes trusting in God. It takes trust. Because the scripture says this in Habakkuk chapter 2. It says, verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So your vision is going to come to pass, but the question is, are you writing down the vision that God has given you? Are you writing down the vision that God has given you? Vision for your family, vision for your business, or vision for your job, vision for your life. Are you writing it down? Because when you write it down, I guarantee you it shall come to pass. You're sitting in vision right now. General wrote down what he wanted to see in this house. He wrote down that he wanted blue chairs. He wrote down that he wanted blue carpet. He wrote down that he wanted a rounded stage, because this stage didn't used to look like this. We used to have the square stage. And I tell y'all want to know a funny story? So when we, P3, we used to have this group called P3, right? Praise, Power, Prayer. So we had a group called Minds of Christ, and we had a group called True Words of Wisdom. So Minister Lori was a part of True Words of Wisdom. I was a part of Minds of Christ. So now this is before we had this rounded stage. So one day we were practicing on a Saturday because we had a show coming up, and this stage was square. So right here, this was a square part of the stage. So we had stairs on both sides. So one day while we were practicing, I stepped into vision that we did not have, and I tumbled over. Did y'all hear me? I stepped into vision that we did not have, and I tumbled over. So basically, I was trying to walk on air, and when I walked on air, guess what happened? It wasn't there, and I fell on my head. But thankfully, I ain't hurt myself. I jumped right back up, and like nothing was happening. But this is vision. You're looking at vision. These TVs that you see, this is vision. I wrote this down. In 2018, I wrote down that NBCC would acquire 3 TVs. Now, I wasn't specific. I just said 3 TVs. And guess what? We got 3 TVs, but we actually need an extra TV. So we really need 4. But I wrote down 3, and we got 3 because there's 2 right here, and there's 1 in the sound booth. Well, 1 across the way, but 3 in the actual church. So I wasn't specific. I wrote it down, and it came true, but it didn't come true in the exact way that I had envisioned it because I didn't write down specifically what I wanted to see. So everybody at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, your vision takes trusting in God. And this is what it says. It says, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Okay. Just making sure y'all hear. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Stop. So when God gives you a vision, that vision is most times bigger than you. 10 times out of 10, it's going to be bigger than you. The vision that God has given me for this house is bigger than me. So that means that I have to trust in God because the vision shall come true. So it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Now, if I was to lean on my own understanding, when you lean on your own understanding, what it's saying is you're focused on the circumstances that you are in right now. You're saying, okay, God, you can't do that. That's too big, God. But we serve a big God. We serve a God that's greater than great. We serve a God that's vaster than vast. We serve a God that is beyond our imagination. But when we lean to our own understanding, we're saying, God, I believe you can't do this. It's too big. It's too big. God, I believe you can't allow us to outgrow this place. That's too big. You see all these empty chairs in here? Now, if I talk to God like that, God's going to be like, there you go, leaning against your own understanding. But vision says, don't lean on your own understanding. I put my trust in God to bring the vision to life. So it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Verse 6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Stop. So when you acknowledge God in the vision that you write down, he shall direct your paths on the right steps to take. But if you don't acknowledge God in your vision, you're going to try to make your own path. You're going to try to make your own way of, okay, let me figure out how to do this. Like, we got some goals here in this house this year for NBCC to do. And at first I was like, how are we going to do this? But God says, don't worry about the how. Just believe in what I told you. And so when you believe in what I told you, I will direct your steps in the right direction. I will tell you to go the right places so you can meet the right people so the vision can come true. See, vision takes people. Vision takes a vessel. Vision takes a vessel. So that means that I have to be open to the opportunity. So when I'm open to the opportunity and I trust God and acknowledge him in all my ways, then he'll direct me on the right way to go. He'll say, okay, well, no, you need to go to this place to meet this person. Anybody ever been in a place and you just met somebody and you was like, man, I was in the right place at the right time? Anybody ever experienced that? We all experience that every day. That's God directing your path. That's God telling you this is where you need to be at this time because I have this set up. Perfect example. I was at Starbucks on Thursday. And I wasn't going to go to Starbucks. I was just going to sit in my truck and read. But Holy Spirit said, go to Starbucks. So I went to Starbucks and I'm just there just reading my book. Just reading. Because leaders are readers. Leaders are readers. And I believe everybody in this house is a leader. I believe I'm not just the only leader of this house. I believe that this house is full of leaders. And so I get excited to speak to a house full of leaders because leaders create leaders, but leaders are readers. So I was just reading my book and didn't know this guy from North Carolina. He says, hey, man, that's a good book. And we got to talking, and I got an opportunity to evangelize to him. I got the opportunity to share love with him because I was in the right space at the right time. Now, if I would have been like, nah, I ain't going to. You his vision for your life, it will be bigger than you. When God reveals to you his vision for your life, it will be bigger than you. See, if So, Nelson Mandela says this. He says, your playing small does not serve the world. Who are you not to be great? Your playing small does not serve the world. Who are you not to be great? Who are you not to be a person of influence? Who are you not to be a person that really helps change the world? Because listen to this. When you change your world, guess what happens? You change the world. Because people are looking at you. See, not only the pastor doesn't have influence, you have influence as well. That's why I was telling you, You are a leader. Leaders have influence. So the influence, you are influenced and you have influence on others. So what you are influenced by usually determines who you will influence. Did you hear me? What you are influenced by will usually determine who you will influence. So when I'm influenced by the Holy Spirit, when I'm influenced by God, when I'm influenced by great thoughts, then I have that same ability to influence other people because they see my life as a light. Your life should be a light. So God never called you to play small. God called you to be great. God never called you to play small. God called you to be great. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And Mr. Willie got the cheat sheet. Everybody got the cheat sheet though, right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. See, we have to stop playing small in church. We gotta become who God created us to be, and God called us to be great people. God, there's greatness within you. Everybody say this with me. There is greatness within me. And I intend to let the world see and know about God. There's greatness within you. And this is what it says, 1 John 4 and 4. And if you're not there, you can just look at it on the screen with us. And it says this. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So that means that you got great power within you. You have greatness within you. And when you understand you have greatness within you, then you will stop playing small in the world. Because when you understand that God is living within you and God is greater than great, then that greatness will come out and you will start to see, okay, my life is supposed to be like this because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So the enemy is in the world. So a lot of people are intimidated by the enemy because they think the enemy is so great. But the enemy isn't. He's just a big dog with no bark. He's just a big dog with no teeth. All bark, no teeth. But when you understand that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, then my mindset will move from, I can't play small anymore. I can't play small. Who are you not to be great? Who are you not to influence who you're supposed to influence? Who are you not to let people know the love of God that has transformed your life? Who are you not to do that? Who are you not to do that? So another aspect of the brain, we're going to go back to the brain. Everybody say the brain. Another aspect of the brain that is activated once your vision is written down is your reticular activating system. Your reticular activating system. What is that, Pastor Jay? That sounds crazy. The reticular activating system filters out important and non-important information. I'll give you an example. So I go to the car dealership and I buy a lime green Honda Accord. Lime green Honda Accord, right? So initially, before I went and bought that lime green Honda Accord, I ain't see no lime green Honda Accords on the road. I ain't see none. But now that my mind has been awakened to my lime green Honda Accord, which is important to me, I'm going to start to see every lime green Honda Accord on the road. The same thing that happened to me when we bought the truck. I didn't see black F-150s. But now everywhere I go, I see like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 25 a day. I see that many a day. Because my reticular activating system has said, okay, become awakened to what you have. This is important to you. So now that this is important to you, now you will see it in your life a whole lot more because it is important to you. Now, what does the reticular activating system has to do with write down your vision? When you write down your vision, your reticular activating system will alert you to the steps that you need to take all along that were always there. So when you write down the vision that God has given you, then what will happen is God will direct your path. He will direct your path. He will say, okay, you need to go this way. Okay, you need to do this thing. Okay, you need to do that. Okay, you need to do this. And what will happen is you will start to see that come true. Everything, 95% of the things that I've desired and I've written down, I have seen come true in my life. And this is just not about materialistic things. It's not just about materials. But we sometimes usually connect, because this is a material world, we sometimes connect to material things. So one time I wrote down in my journal, I went out, and I'll bring it and show you all next week. Got this big, black, thick journal. And first thing I wrote down was who I desired, and she manifested. Another thing I wrote down was I wanted a 2016 MacBook Pro with a touch bar. Now, I wrote it down, and I forgot about it. And then when I was going through the journal, I was like, Holy Spirit was like, stop on this page. So I stopped on that page, and I was like, a 2016 MacBook Pro with a touch bar. And then I looked to the left of me, and guess what's sitting next to the left of me? A 2016 MacBook Pro with a touch bar. All because I had written it down. Now, I forgot about it. I forgot I had even written that down. But I wrote it down, and it manifested. The same goes for you. Whatever you write down, it will manifest in your life. So what are you writing down if you're writing down anything? If you want to lose weight, are you saying, hey, I want to lose 15 pounds and just leaving it here? Or are you writing it down so that you can? Because when you write it down, what happens is it becomes concrete in your mind. It is now solidified in your mind. And so now you're saying, okay, well, I wrote that down, and now your mind is saying, okay, they're serious about this goal. They're serious about this desire. And so when you write it down, then you're going to move into the steps, because your reticular activating system is going to move you there. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. Man, time be flying. Y'all got about 45 more minutes to get this really out. Nah, I'm just joking. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8. Y'all was about to check out. I'm about to see some one fingers go up and walk out the door. Mr. Willie, if they try to go out, just lock the doors. They won't be able to get out. And we keep them in here. The Lord already know what to do. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. And this is Jesus talking, and so that's why it's in red. This is Jesus talking. Everyone there? And this is what it says. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Most times we don't get what we desire because we're not asking God for it. How do we ask God for it? By writing it down. By writing it down. When you write it down, you're saying, God, I am trusting you in this. And so what you ask God for, he will give it to you. What you seek God for, he will give it to you if you write it down. If you seek God, he will give it to you if you write it down. So it's important for you to write down what God has given you vision-wise, because when you write down your vision from God, it shows that you are committed to what God has spoken in your life. When you write down your vision from God, it shows that you are committed to what God has spoken in your life. So a lot of us, are we committed to what God has spoken into our life, or are we just saying, God, I trust you to bring it to pass, but I'm not going to write it down, and I'm going to just leave it in my memory. Did you know that if you get an idea and you don't write it down within the next 7 seconds, that idea will leave you? Did you know that? And so that's why everywhere I go, I carry around a book bag with me. Everywhere I go, I got journals on journals. And I just bought a journal the other week, and Lady Pilar got on to me because she said I had too many journals. So I got in a little trouble. How many do I have? How many journals do I have? Four? I think you have like 6 journals. She says 6 journals. So she says I have 6 journals. But you don't got to be extreme like me and get 6 journals. You can just use one. But I have about 6 different journals, because when Holy Spirit speaks to me, I want to be able to capture that. Because God has spoken some things into my life that I've seen happen, all because I wrote it down. Now, if I would have forgot to write it down, then I would have went back and been like, oh, this just happened just by happenstance. No, it didn't happen by happenstance. It happened by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Now, God will always give you the what, but he'll never give you the how. God, when it comes to vision, God will always give you what the vision is, but he will never give you how the vision will come true. And your focus isn't to focus on the how. That's irrelevant to you, because if you focus on the how, then you'll start to try to do your own thing. And that's when leaning to your own understanding comes in. And that's when you'll try to direct your steps and direct your path. So the how is not important to us. So turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Wow, y'all beat me there. Beat me there. Look at that. They cheating. They cheating, huh? Nobody get no more outlines because they cheating. Can't beat. How are you going to beat the pastor to the scripture? So it says this. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So when I really apply this scripture to my life, then I will know that God thinks about me. God thinks about you. The scripture says that God's thoughts far outweigh the sands of the sea for you. So before you were alive, God was thinking about you. When you were created, God was thinking about you. As you live, God is thinking about you. When you die, God will forever think about you. So that means that God has so many thoughts about you that you can't even count the thoughts that God has about you. So this Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, just shows us the type of thoughts that God has about us. God has thoughts of peace about you. God has thoughts not of evil of you. And God has thoughts to give you a future and an expected end. So when I know that God has thoughts about me, then I will tap into those thoughts that God has about me. How do I tap into those thoughts God has about me? Through the Word of God. Because the Word of God will show you what God thinks about you. The Word of God will show you the promises that God has for you. See, when you see what God sees about your life, you will say what he says about your life. When you see what God sees about your life, you will start to say what God says about your life. And so when I say what God says about my life and I write it down, then I am able to go back and look at what God says about me, and I am able to have that imprinted on my heart. I'm able to have that imprinted in my mind. So once you write your vision and walk forward in faith with a conscious effort, all manner of support and tangible backing will be available to you. So when you see the vision here, you write the vision down, there's going to be resources that come to you for you to have that vision come true. You're just going to become a magnet for resources. You're going to become a magnet for people that are going to walk into your life and bless you. You're going to become a magnet. You're going to see, wow, all because I saw the vision and I wrote it down and I made it plain and I wrote it in big block letters. So I wrote it down so big to where I could see it in my life. And so now I can see it in my life. Now I can run with it. But if you just see it here, you can't run with it just here. You have to see it here. You have to see it written down. So when you write down your vision, you know your vision. Because you cannot see your vision come to reality if you do not write it down. Your vision, let me tell you this. Your vision will never come true if you don't write it down. It'll never come true. Now, the scripture is true in what it says. It says, write down the vision, make it plain, so he that see it may run with it. So, but if you never write down your vision, you'll never see it in your reality because you're omitting a step. You're saying, okay, I hear you, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. I ain't gonna write it down. I'm gonna just keep it here. Guess what's gonna happen? It's gonna stay here. It's not gonna stay here. It's not gonna come here. It's gonna stay here. So when you write your vision down, then you say, okay, I'm moving it from mind to paper, and then it's going to move from paper to your reality. So why is vision by hand important? Number one, if you flip on the back, you see this. Putting your vision on paper helps imprint it on your subconscious mind. Putting your vision on paper helps imprint it on your subconscious mind. Number two, when you write your vision, you are saying, in essence, you're saying to God, I trust you, God, to bring this to pass. When you write down your vision, you're saying, God, I trust you to bring this to pass. Number three, writing your vision is the second step in achieving your vision. See, vision is a three-step process. It's in your mind first, it's in your dreams first. Secondly, it's written down. Thirdly, it's in your reality. So it's a three-step process. Now, writing your vision is the second. So number one, putting your vision on paper helps imprint it on your subconscious mind. Number two, when you write your vision, you are saying, I trust you, God, to bring this to pass. And number three, writing your vision is the second step in achieving your vision. So that's why. That's why. Because the why is important. But the how is important also. So how? Vision by hand. How vision by hand? You invest in a journal or two or three or four or five or six. Like Lady Pilar said I had. She said I had six. But I have this journal that I wake up in the morning and write in. So I've been writing in this one for like 155 days. So what I do every morning, I wake up, I write down 10 things I'm thankful for. I write down 10 things on my mind. I write down the desires in my heart every morning before I start my day, every morning. Because I'm a believer in the word. I'm a stand on the word when it says write down your vision, make it plain. So I'm a believer in the word. So I got to put action in what I believe. I can't just believe and just say it's going to happen. No, I got to put action to my belief. So how do I put action to my belief? By following what the scripture says. Write down the vision, make it plain. So invest in you a journal. So today, go to Walmart. You can go to Walmart and get this journal for like $5 or $6. You can get you one of those journals, small journals from the Dollar Tree for like 99 cents. But invest in you a journal. Invest in you a journal. Number two, write your vision in blue ink. Now, I just learned this one this week or a few weeks ago about writing your vision in blue ink. Why blue ink? Because blue ink helps you remember better. Have you ever noticed when you write down in red ink, you forget what you wrote down? But when you write it in blue ink, you remember it. So write in blue ink. And the last one, date your vision and when you write it. Date your vision and when you write it. Because when you date it, you can go back and look at it and say, okay, well, God told me this on October 26, 2019, and here it is, January 19th, 2020, and this has come true. So you can see how God has worked in your life over those days. So when you write down your vision, date it, amen? So let's give God some praise in this place, amen? So vision by hand is very important. And I wanted to talk about something different today, but God was like, no, I want you to talk about vision by hand. I want you to help the people know to write the vision and to make it plain. To write it on tablets. Write it on tablets. So if you would, stand to your feet this morning. And I want you all to put some action to this. I want y'all to go and invest in you a journal today. Invest in you a journal. Invest in you a blue pen. And write out what God has placed on your heart. Because vision happens, what, three ways, right? Where does it happen first? In the mind, in your writing, in your reality. So MWR. Mind, writing, reality. So your vision happens in your mind.